If y'all think I'm gonna let some mic bother me, y'all don't know me too well. Ain't nobody concerned about these here microphones. I was just giving them time to get themselves together. Y'all right? All right. Y'all ready for the word of the Lord? Ooh, God is good. Now, thank you. I appreciate you. If I can have just 30 minutes with you, can I have 30 minutes? You sure? You all right? 30 minutes is all right? Okay. Now, he said I can have as much time as I needed. Okay. All right. I guess that ought to give me 10 more minutes. I take 40. I'm honored to stand before you. It is my honor and my privilege to stand. It is not too often that you have the opportunity to go into a place where the people are hungry for the word of God. And it is the word of God, if y'all will just give me a little time to build my case here, it is the word of God that is full of life lessons. It's full of truth if you just read it a little bit. It is the word of God that will transform you. The psalmist says, how will a young man keep his way pure? The response is to guard it according to his word. Psalmist goes on to say, the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Isaiah says, the word will not come back void, but it will accomplish what he sends it forth to do. So when we read the word of God, it becomes evident that the word is trying to change us. Now, we don't always like the changing. Sometimes when it's trying to change us, it's trying to change some things that we've done the same way for a very long time. Sometimes when the word is trying to change us, it's trying to change our mentalities, our outlooks, the way that we have seen things, the way we've always seen things. Sometimes when we want the word to cut somebody else, it cuts us first. Sometimes when we're hoping that we can tell God to sick them, he gets us and leaves them be. Now, with this in view, I'm going to look at a familiar passage today. Not because I am not accustomed to your biblical acumen, but sometimes we need to review some things that we've seen before to see if God can say some more. So I would like to tell you that I realized something about the Great Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church, and that is that I am standing in a room of builders. If those of you don't mind taking a couple of notes, just go ahead and put it at the top of your paper. I'm a note-taking type preacher, so go ahead and get you a pen out. If you don't have a pen, you should probably ask your neighbor. If you don't have paper, that napkin probably not going to do it. Come on, get some help. We got some stuff we got to do today. I'm going to talk about the builder's blueprint. The builder's blueprint. I believe that I am standing in a room of builders. Some of us in this room have already built a couple of things. Maybe you've built your homes, your businesses, your families. Some of us have even had some experience in building ourselves. Some of us in this room are in the building process currently. Just matriculating through school, just getting your first car, just planning your family. Some know what it's like to build and then have it torn down. Oh, that's not you. You ever built something and like, Lord, what happened? To see something great and have it fall apart. To see something that was once beautiful that needs a little repair. Oh, I wish somebody would walk with me in the spirit. And sometimes things need repair, not necessarily because of neglect. Ooh, teach. But sometimes things need repair, deacons and members and friends, because maintenance is just a part of building. It just comes with it. No matter what you think, eventually you're going to have to replace the tires on that car. Brick is going to need to be tuck pointed. You're going to need a new roof. At some point, you're going to have to go ahead and change the oil. Oh, come on. Your body's going to get older. And what it used to be able to do, it ain't going to be able to do no more. So today in this room of builders, I want to challenge you. Just say this with me. Self, don't stop building. Now, I recognize, I know you might feel like it, you know, I hear folks say, I don't move like I used to, and I don't get around as quick as I used to get around, but I need you to understand, just because you don't do it the way you used to do it does not make you ineffective. And for those of you in this room who are willing to answer the builder's challenge, I'm going to give you 6 necessary parts of your blueprint. So Nehemiah chapter 1, one of my favorite books. Let me say this before I begin. I didn't want to teach this, but the Lord had other plans. And I've been walking with him long enough to understand that disobedience is not tolerated. So in Nehemiah chapter 1, I'm in the NASB translation. It'll be on your screen. Let's read 4 verses just to begin. Now we're going to jump around. We're going to use these Bibles. Don't close them. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, while I was in Susa, the capital, look at verse 2, that Hananiah, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and had survived the captivity about Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. They said to me, look at what they said, the remnant there, in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. Leave this verse up for me for a second. Is broken down and its gates are burned with fire. Let's do it again. He says, let's tell you what's going on there, Nehemiah. He says, what's going on? He says, there's a few people there. It's not like it used to be. Okay. But there's still some people there, and they're still steadfast. It's not like it used to be, Nehemiah. You've been gone for a while, but there's some people there. There's a remnant, and they survived. Oh, God. I know I'm talking to some builders here who have survived some things. They survived. There's a little distress. There's a little reproach. The walls is not as fortified as they were. Some gates have been burned down with fire. Look at verse 4, though. Look at verse 4. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I was fasting, leave this verse up, and praying before the God of heaven. I heard these words. Now mind you, Nehemiah, if you know the story, Nehemiah is a cupbearer. He's doing well. He done went away and he's doing his thing. Come on, read the story. Nehemiah is good. He works in the king's palace. I mean, you know, he didn't need to do nothing. I mean, Nehemiah was trusted. I mean, he said, hey, how my people doing? Nehemiah's like, how my folks? How my people doing? They was like, and not so good. Your people ain't doing so well. Now, Nehemiah could have said, I hope they do better. Oh, yeah. That could have been how Nehemiah responded. I hope y'all do good. Good looking out. But instead, Nehemiah sat down and wept and mourned for days and was fasting and praying. Nehemiah, y'all, is faced with an issue, with a concern. Nehemiah is faced with this concern that your people are in trouble. What are you going to do about it? And this brings me to the first 2 points of a builder's blueprint. Please understand this. If you're going to build anything, the first thing you got to have is a burden. Okay. All right. I'm going to take my time. I've only been up here 9 minutes. If you're going to build anything, the first thing you got to have is a burden. Despite where Nehemiah was currently, despite the fact that the trouble wasn't troubling him, despite the fact that Nehemiah was fine, the people mattered. And he had a burden for the people. Please write this down if you don't mind taking notes. Where there is no burden, there will be no focus. Please write that down. Where there is no burden, there will be no focus. See, one of the reasons that some of us can't accomplish very much is because you have no burden. That thing don't mean nothing to you. See, anytime you want to build something, have you ever seen, okay, I can talk. My son is over here, and I talk about my kids in all of my messages, so they're used to it by now. So I remember the first time I asked my son to cut the grass. I remember it. He was young and he was busy playing video. He's 20 now. He was young. He's probably 12, 13 years old. And I said, son, you need to come out here and cut this grass. And he was upset because I had pulled him away from his video game. He was upset. He didn't have no burden for it. And because he didn't have no burden for it, when he got the lawnmower, he was like, fine, because he understood that no was not an answer. Y'all know. You can't tell me no. You're gonna cut the grass. It's gonna happen. You can fuss and plain and all that you want to, but grass gonna get cut. So he gets out there and he starts the mower. I think my wife somewhere got a video, and he was running with that lawnmower across the grass. I mean, that boy was cutting the grass so fast. I mean, he was missing every blade he could. Because where there is no burden, there is no focus. I'm not going to take time. I'm not going to get the edges. There's not going to be no attention to detail because I'm really not burdened about it. See, sometimes when you're doing it halfway, that's because you got half the heart. Okay. See, you're not serious. You're not serious about this thing. And the first thing that we see in our builder, in Nehemiah, and the first thing that you got to have if you're going to build anything is you got to have a burden. How much does it mean to you? How much is that thing bothering you? How much is it keeping you up at night where you're like, God, you got to do something? Have you ever wanted to build something and you said, God, I don't know how this thing is going to work, but you got to do something for my kids. Come on now. I don't know how I'm going to get them into school, but you got to do something. I don't know how I'm going to make a better life for my family, but you got to do something. I understand the circumstance that some of you are in the Great Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church, but I just want to know, is there somebody in this room who has a burden that says, God, there's a few of us around here and you got to do something? I got a burden. I could walk away, but I can't. Y'all. I wish there was a couple of people in here. I could do another thing. I could move on, but I just can't. I can't bring myself to do it because I got a burden. It ain't like it's the only church, but something is holding me here. Something won't let me go away. I'm part of the remnant and I ain't going nowhere because I got a burden. First thing that the builder has to have is a burden, because again, where there is no burden, there will be no focus. Let me go a step further. What matters to God must matter to the builder. Oh boy. What matters to God must matter to the builder. Let me see that tile. Just want to thank you. All right. What matters to God must matter to the builder. If it don't matter to you, but it matters to God, you and God ain't on the same page. But the second thing you must have as a builder, is you got to have prayer, right? That's number two. You got to have prayer. You got to have prayer, because a burden without prayer will oftentimes make you chaotic. Okay, we still not listening. A burden without prayer will make you chaotic. What do you mean? Because a burden without prayer has no instructions. See, if I'm burdened by it, but I won't pray about it, then I got passion, but I don't have insight. Lord, I want to do it, but I'm going to go do it the way I feel like doing it, because I can't sit
still long enough to get the proper instructions. And sometimes when you got a burden without prayer, you'll mess around and think you smart, because just because you've been able to fix your old car don't mean you know how to fix this new one. Come on now, just because you can change the oil on a 1968 Mustang don't mean you can do anything with a Tesla. Come on in this room. Yeah. I understand. You knew how to drop the oil pan and turn the carburetor and spray a little stuff in the carburetor. This Tesla ain't got none of that. See, your past experience does not necessarily give you future results. Look at verse 4 again. It's right there in the text, just so y'all understand that I'm staying with it. In verse 4, it says this: when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. Wait, slow it. Wept and mourned for days. I was fasting. I was praying. I'm burdened, but I ain't gonna move before I get some instructions. Did y'all hear me? I'm burdened. But I'm not going to move because, God, the way you might want to do it and the way I want to do it might not be the same way. None of us can expect to build without constant and consistent communication with the Lord. He's the master builder, not us. He's the cornerstone, not us. And I'm not even going to try to build without him. Now, the question that we could ask at this point in the text is, why was Nehemiah so burdened, so willing to pray fervently? Nehemiah, you know you the man. Just send a check. Oh, come on. Ain't that how we do? Ain't that how we do? How much y'all need? Because I'm doing fine, and I know you're not going to get me all caught up, because that's going to take too much work. See, sometimes it's easier to stay disconnected and send your resources. Because there's no sacrifice in giving out of your comfort. I'll give it to you another way. You haven't sacrificed until it's bled. Ask the Old Testament. There was no such thing as a sacrifice without blood. So how in the world are you calling it a sacrifice, but you ain't bleeding yet? Okay. Why was Nehemiah so burdened and so willing to pray so fervently? Put verse 10 up on the screen. I'll show you why it was serious to him. They are your servants and your people whom you've redeemed by your grace. Leave this up. He says, the reason I'm so serious about going is because, God, them your people. Regardless of how comfortable I am, if they're your people and I'm a part of your people, then that means that's part of my body. Okay, it's quiet in here. The Bible says that we're one body, many members. Okay, can I teach a little bit more? Is everybody okay? Okay, in the scripture, the word church is the word ecclesia. It's the word, I'm not trying to sound smart, but y'all gotta understand it. The word church is the word ecclesia. It's a singular noun that describes a plural entity. I'll do it again. It's a singular noun which describes a plural entity. Okay. I know what we've heard. You the church. No, you are not. We are the church. Church is a singular noun, but it describes a plural entity. No single individual can be the church by itself. And how do you know it? You need to prove that. Okay, the Bible says that there is one body, many members. And so if it's one body, many members, then that means it takes all of us to be the body. But, even though it's one body, many members, none of us are the head.
Okay.
The head of the church is Christ. So we're only the body. So we only occupy the neck down. God Almighty, he's the head of the church. And unless the body gets under the head of the church, the great master shepherd, the great master builder, you'll mess around and you got all these dirts, all these bricks, all of these building materials, and you ain't build nothing that God wants. He says, listen, these your people, and I'm not going to sit here comfortable when another part of the body is not. Please understand this. If the word ecclesia is a singular noun for a plural entity, we must also understand that the church shows people the unity even of God. Excuse me. The word Elohim, Lord have mercy. Elohim, which is where we get God, actually is also a singular noun that describes a plural entity. Y'all, that's why you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but it's only one God. And so when the people see the church, they should be able to see in the church the God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Spirit. But if we're disjointed, if they can't see unity here, then they're not going to believe in unity in heaven. The church is supposed to be the visible representation of what heaven is going to look like. People should look forward to heaven when they show up in the church. Yes. When people come before this body, they should go, if I get to do that all day, every day, I want to go there. If I get to love like that all day, every day, I want to be a part of that body. But if we can't get along with each other, if we always backbiting, if we can't operate in unity, if we can't build, if we can't develop, then why would anybody want to go to heaven if we're going to be there? If we can't get along down here while we can breathe, then I might not want to be up there with you neither. This brings us to our third building requirement. Look at chapter 2, verse 5, please. Ooh, I said to the king, what'd you say to the king? If it please the king and if your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Wait a minute. Nehemiah, I don't know about that, bro. I don't know. I'm telling you, write a check. Send some timber. But this brings me to the third part. The first one you should have is a burden. The second one you should have is prayer. Here's the third one you should have, sacrifice. Sacrifice. When you want to build something great, better yet, when the Lord wants to build something great through you, sacrifice is a necessary component. What did Jesus say in the garden? Not my will, but thy will be done. Trust me, y'all. All things will work together for good, even if you don't like the journey. It's going to be all right. Oh, come on. I wish I had some people who was like, listen, I'm a witness. See, some of y'all have been walking this earth long enough to say, listen, young blood, it's going to be fine. the reason that I'm able to sit here with such confidence is because I've listened to some of you who got better stories. Okay, y'all. The Bible says you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Some of you have been through some stuff, and because I listen to what you've been through, I'm not going to go through it. That's called wisdom. I ain't gonna have to go through what you went through because I paid attention. Don't go left at the light. No problem. Because you went left at the light and it was a pothole down there. I ain't going left at the light. I'm not hard-headed, but some of us are. Some of us are. Some of us are. The builder has to be willing to have a burden. The builder has to be willing to pray. And the builder has to be willing to sacrifice. He didn't have to do this. But the burden pushed him. He didn't have to do this. He got to do it, y'all. He felt a burden to it. I ain't got to do this. I ain't got to show up on that Sunday morning. I don't have to sing in the choir. There's no requirement, but something in me. I don't have to do it, but I want to do it. And even when I don't want to do it, I get to do it. And I'm so glad I get to do it. When it's time to give God praise, I can't help myself because God has been too good to me for me not to come on there. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Listen, there's a whole lot of stuff we could be doing, but I wish there were some people in here who understood the old saying which says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done, I don't need too much. I just need a memory. That's all I need. All I need is a memory. Because some of y'all, like this time last year, I didn't know if I was going to make it. Do y'all not understand that we lost a lot of people and starting in 2020? And I wish you could go back and say, wait a minute, it could have been me, but God saw fit to leave me in this place. And if he saw fit to leave me here, I'm going to build. Don't play. If he saw fit to leave me here, I'm going to do my work. I'm going to work while it is yet day, because night cometh where no man can work. I'm going to build. I'm going to put my back into it. I'm going to build. I'm going to sweat, but I'm going to build. I'm going to labor with my brothers and sisters. I'm going to build. I'm going to build even when I don't feel like it. I'm going to build. Hallelujah. Y'all sit down for a second. I'm going to build. I'm going, do I have any builders in here? Do I have any builders? You might have been tired a minute ago, but do I have a couple of builders in here? Do I have a couple of people who say, wait a minute, as long as I got breath in my body, I'm going to build. That's what I'm going to do. What you doing today? Building. What'd you do yesterday? I was building. What you gonna be doing tomorrow? Building. What about when you get tired? I'm gonna build. What about when they get on your nerves? We gonna build. Oh, y'all. I ain't gonna stop building because you having a bad day, because I done had some bad days and God didn't stop building on me. Come on now. I got enough good sense to know how God has been patient with me, and I dare myself get upset with you and cut you off as if God has not been good to me. Come on now. The old folk used to say, I was sinking, hey, deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master from the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Okay. Now. Maybe that's not your testimony. My bad. That's me. My bad. That one don't. That ain't everybody's testimony. Some of y'all came out the womb singing Amazing Grace. That's cool. That's not. Because some of y'all still remember how to take a sip. That's okay. Don't tell them. Some of y'all ain't put your cuss words up yet. Don't tell them. That's all right. It's all right. It's all right. I ain't saying it's good, but don't be sitting up here looking at me three-quarter simple like, you know. Right. So now Nehemiah gets to the building site, just so y'all can understand I'm staying with the text. He's on the building site. He's on the grounds. Nehemiah's on the grounds. Now I'm telling y'all, now they done told him that the gates is burned and everything done been burned with fire. Nehemiah gets on the grounds, and I don't know, y'all. Maybe if I'm Nehemiah, I would have got on the grounds and went, ooh, okay. A little bit more than I expected. So where do I send that check? Because sometimes, watch this, you get burdened, you pray, you're willing to sacrifice until you see it. Please understand, there was a burden, there was prayer, and there was sacrifice, and he hadn't even got there yet. Can you do all of that? As a matter of fact, by the time he gets there, he's already collected lumber. He's already collected building materials. He's already collected the people. He's ready to work. And then he gets on the site, and he starts traveling around. And he like, oh, man. He got on his horse, and he's riding around at night. He's going around to the gates. He's like, oh, Jesus. Now, here's what you got to understand about the way that this wall was built. The wall had a door at every family's house. Okay. Wow. I feel like running around in here. The wall had a door at every family's house. So what Nehemiah was like, he was like, okay. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have every family just work on their gate. I'm going to have every family work on that gate, and then we'll just join the walls together. So no family gets overwhelmed. Just every family just work on that gate. Just work on the door that leads to their house. Just if I can get all the families to just work on that gate, that's all I need. All I need is all the families, you know, all of the Rosses, all of the McGuire. Y'all not in here. I just need all the McGuires. I need all of the Georges. I need everybody to just work on your gate. You just work on your, don't be worrying about my gate. I got my gate. You got your gate. We're not going to complain about gates. We gonna meet in the middle because it's all one wall. We ain't gonna outdo each other with gates. We ain't gonna do gate competitions. We not gonna sit here and see who gate better than the other person gate, because we just trying to, I'm a builder. I'm gonna encourage you. If you run out of mortar, I'm gonna be like, I got some mortar over here. See, y'all, I wish a couple of y'all used to understand when you could go to your neighbor's house and get a bag of sugar. Y'all. Yes, sir. Excuse me, Betty Ann, you got some sugar? Yeah, Martha Sue, I got sugar. And Betty Ann would give Martha Sue some sugar. Martha Sue would cook the cake and bring Betty Ann a piece. How did he get them to do it? Well, look at chapter 2, verse 17, almost through. I said to them, you see this bad situation we are in? There's something powerful right there. Leave this verse up. There's something powerful right there. It's a word. You read it too fast, you miss it. You see, he said to them, you see this bad situation we are in? There it was. We missed it twice. You see this bad situation we are in?
Yeah, we.
One more time. You see this bad situation we are in? Now, wait a minute, Nehemiah. How in the world you insert yourself into a problem that ain't got nothing to do with you? Because these my people. We one body. He gets there and he says, we in a mess. Jerusalem is desolate. Its gates are burned with fire. Come, let up. Let us rebuild. Let us, not anybody else. We're going to come together and we're going to do it together, arm in arm. If we got some trouble, we're going to sit down and we're going to do it the Bible way, and we're going to work it out with each other, because we got too much building to do to not speak to each other over something we think happened in 1962. We're going to work this thing out. We're going to work together. We got to still change this community. We still got to do something on this corner. We still got to have people who understand that Jesus is the most famous name on earth. We ain't got time for family squabbles. We ain't got time for no family internal drama. We got building to do. Somebody say, I'm a builder.
I'm a builder.
Come.
I'm a builder.
Let us.
Yes.
Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach. Do y'all understand? He was like, look, if we don't rebuild, we gonna make God look bad. Take this down. I'll go to 18 in a minute. Don't put 18 up. He says, wait. We got to fix this situation. Do y'all remember? Maybe y'all. Okay. In the New Testament, there's a passage. I'll do it real quick. There's a passage where the Bible says that the man brought his sick child to the disciples. And they couldn't do nothing with him. And he was mad at Jesus. Because of what the disciples could. Y'all in here. Jesus wasn't even there. He's like, what's wrong with your people? What's wrong with your disciples? Why can't they do what you can do? Y'all do understand the scripture says, as he is, so are we in this world. Yeah, y'all do understand that Genesis says that we were created in his image and after his likeness. So when people drive down this street and they see somewhere that espouses the name of Jesus Christ, they should be able to come in here and get everything they can get from Jesus. Yes, Lord. When they walk into these doors, they should feel the presence of God. They should be able to sense the love of God. They should get the hospitality of God. They should see, the power of God, the miracle of God, because this is supposed to be God's house. Yes, when they come in here, they should be surrounded by the people of God to hear the worship of God and be delivered the word of God. But when we get in it, God gets kicked out. Put verse 18 up.
Yeah.
I told them. What'd you tell them, Nehemiah? I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me. Told them about the king's words, which he had spoken to me. Then I said, let us arise, build. So they put their hands to the good work.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
One translation say the people had a mind. I like that translation. The people had a mind to work. The people was like, well, let's get it then. Let's go. what are we about to do? And see, here's the thing. God is trying to do something in this great Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church, but he's only going to do it when the people put their hands to the good work. Ooh, Lord, I don't want to say that. Yes, I am. You got to understand that God can change this thing, but we can't.
Lord, amen.
Okay. Our methods, our modes, our means ain't gonna do nothing. But if we employ God, come on now. He said, nothing can come against God. Nothing is too big for God. When we get us out of it and put God in it, that thing gonna work out. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? But we gotta put our hands to the work and then allow him to be the miracle worker. Yes, Lord. We gotta put our hands to the work and then say, God, listen, this is the way I felt like doing it, but apparently you got another way. And I'm gonna do it your way. And I understand, yes, I'm gonna say it. Yes, I understand that some of us want this thing to go a particular way. We got a particular method. We got a particular mode. And God was like, look, I will turn over every table until I get my will.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And if you don't believe that the Lord is a table turning God, please understand that that's how Jesus started his ministry. Going into the temple like, what have y'all done to this place? Let me rearrange some furniture. And I need y'all to understand something. When the tables got turned over, the power came in. Oh, go read it. That's all right. After he turned over the tables, it was like, and the people came and he healed them all. Sometimes the table we brought inside the church is keeping the people from getting healed in the church. Okay. So what's the next builder's step? Write it down. I got to have vision. I got to have vision. Where there is no vision, the people what? One translation says they cast off constraint. Another translation, my favorite, I think it's the Message, says where there is no vision, the people don't know what they're doing. Yeah. And now vision is not a plan. That's not the scriptural definition of vision. Vision is insight. It's word from the Lord. Y'all with me? Vision is not when we come together and go, what you think? 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 That's not vision. Vision is, Lord, what you think? Yeah.
There you
oh, okay.
There you go.
That's what we gonna do. That's vision. That's vision. Building will never be successful without vision, and multiple visions are division. Lord, it's been 35 minutes. I only got 5 more minutes. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Watch this. Watch this. Vision is singular. Die, the prefix, means more than one. Die vision means more than one vision. In the church, it's amazing how you can have die vision and think it's conversation. Because it's possible to have die vision without argument. Die vision is the presence of multiple visions which have both gained insight and that you're trying to do. We just gonna try them both. What do you want? We not going to try 12 things. Okay. Yep. Got to have a burden. Got to have prayer. Got to have sacrifice. Got to have vision. And then here's number 5. You got to have unity. Come, let us build. No one person can accomplish the work of the Lord by themselves. We need each other. We need each other. All of us bring something to the table. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Unity. One of the dear brothers at the church where God has allowed me to serve, he's been with me so many years, and he had a quadruple bypass. Quad. They didn't think he was going to make it, but God had other plans.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And he was feeling some type of way. He said, I can't move like I used to. I can't do this, and I can't do this. You know, my lung capacity is not, and my heart's not functioning. I said, listen. Hey. Let me tell you something. Everything that I need from you is still in you.
Yes, sir.
Sit down and point. Y'all. I'm not going to throw you away. Because you can't get from one side of the room as quick as you used to.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to come to you because I still got some pep in my step. So I'm going to come to you. You point. What you see? See, we need each other.
Yes.
See, sometimes, listen, some of you not moving as fast as you used to, but I still need you. Come on now. Some of you, come on. But that also means, listen to me. I'm coming with the left hook. Listen, this also means that there are some people who are younger and you need them too. You need to listen to that 16-year-old.
Yes.
Let me holler at you. What's going on in your head? Because when you don't listen to them and you make them feel like their voice has no ears and that you're the only voice that matters, they will go somewhere that will accept their voice, and oftentimes that's the world. So the reason that the church is void of young people is because we have not given them a safe place in order for them to speak and be heard. The reason that the church is not, watch this, multi-generational, and we have people who leave the church as soon as they old enough to disobey their parents, is because the church has not given them a platform. But the Bible says there got to be unity. I need the voice of the young. I need the voice of the middle age. I need the voice of the old. Everybody got to come together. Maybe if we ask some of these little babies what they think, we'd stop doing some of this stuff. They might not want to do another puppet show. They was doing puppet shows when I was a little kid. Maybe they want to get together and they want a code and develop a video and put it on the screen, come on, utilizing their multimedia talent. Yes. Yes, maybe you could just do a computer lab and give them a camera or two and let them video their presentation and edit it, and so they learn how to edit and how to... Come on. We're still doing puppet shows. They doing TikTok. Okay. 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 All right. All right. All right. The Lord has been too good to all of us. He's brought us too far, showed us too much. We've overcome too much for us to sit here and stop building, all because we are stuck in our own way of doing things. You mean to tell me, after a church as great as this has done as much as it's done, that all we can do is sit here and say, this is the way we always done them? Listen. God done brought me too far for me to get afraid to say what God put in me to say. Oh, I'm going to get it said, and whoever get mad about it, y'all going to be all right. Y'all pray for me. I'm praying for you. Y'all pray for me. But I'm telling you how builders operate. See, because watch this, you can't build on a building site which already contains a dilapidated building. If you want to build, sometimes in order to build, we're going to have to tear some stuff down. It just comes with building. Come on now. So some of these buildings ain't up to code. I want to run. Do y'all hear me? Some of these buildings still got asbestos in them. We're going to have to take the whole thing down. You can't build and be proud of what you build when you're simply trying to put paneling over the toxicity in the walls. They're going to be all right. They're going to be all right. Here's my last point. I'm going to have my seat. Oh, yes. Do I have builders still, or y'all done turned in your hard hats? I had a bunch of builders when I started, but still got your work clothes on? Okay, very good. Very good. Because listen, if you want to build, we ain't got time for no shovel watchers. Come on now, I spent 11 years working in the government, and we used to have people who would go out on the building site, and we paying you time and a half for you to watch a shovel. No, we ain't got time for that. We ain't got time for shovel watchers. We gonna need you to go ahead and sling some dirt.
Yes, sir.
So here's my, let me go back through. So y'all make sure y'all got y'all's notes right. You got to have a burden. You got to have prayer. You got to have sacrifice. Y'all got this? Come on, what's the next one? What's the one after that? Here's the last one, determination. Put up chapter 2, verses 19, and I'm through. Sambalat, we was doing good. Here comes Sambalat, the Horonite, Tobiah, the Ammonite official, Geshem, the Arab heard it. Lord, here we got some people who don't like the plan. They mocked us, because it's going to happen. What y'all think y'all gonna do? Who y'all think y'all? That ain't the way I would do it. Here comes Sanballat, the Horonite, Tobiah, the Ammonite. And the more you read, I challenge all of y'all to read all of Nehemiah, because it actually gets worse. By the time they actually build the wall, you got whole nations coming against them. Because what Tabernacle needs to do in this season has never been seen in the city before. Okay, I'm going to close the Bible. So there's going to be some people who like, why y'all do it like that? Well, listen, Tabernacle has always been an innovator. We ain't going to stop now. Come on now. I think some folks in this house done forgot who y'all are. Y'all think some of y'all done forgot who you are. Tabernacle ain't never been. Come on now. You've always been an innovative church. You've always been the church that was outside of convention. This church has always been the one that set the trend. You didn't follow nobody else's trend. Why y'all following it now? I'm going to say what God told me to say. You've always been the one that were blueprint makers. You will always be the one who put the pattern. You never followed nobody else's pattern. This house always followed God. Why you think the Underground Railroad came through here? It came through here because this was the place that people knew that if a slave can get here, they can get to their freedom. I don't know what has happened in this place that you've become so conventional that you're no longer spirit-led.
Come on, preacher, come on.
I'm waking up the builders in here. Come on, builders. It's stuff that you can do, but it ain't gonna work when you keep doing it the old way. It was never the old way. This was the place where your choir was sitting with the Philharmonic. Wasn't nobody else sitting with the Philharmonic? Your choir had strings. Didn't nobody else have strings? Y'all were doing anthems. Nobody else was doing anthems. You wrote music. You didn't sing nobody else's music. When folk wanted to do something in this place, it wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when. Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir. It wasn't how, it was just give it, put it on a date, put it on a timeline. Put the date on the calendar and watch God. Hallelujah. 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 I presided over my grandmother's funeral in this church. I presided over my grandfather's funeral in this church. I married my sisters right down here in this church. And if y'all think that I'm going to turn a deaf ear to what I see in this place, y'all crazy. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to say what God told me to say because there's still builders in here.
Now.
My brother-in-law sits on these drums. I still got family in these pews. I am connected to this place. There got to be some determination. Even when Sanballat raise up. I ain't scared of Sanballat. I ain't scared of Tobiah. I ain't scared of Geshem. Whoever they are. That's fine. Okay, okay. Dr. Bougier, we let the word do it. You ready? We're going to let the word do it. I'm going to sit down. We're going to let the word. Put it up on screen. 19. Because y'all don't like me. They mocked us, despised us. What is this thing you're doing? Are you rebelling against the king? 20. Look, here it is. So I answered them. Ha! Woo! So I answered them. The God of heaven will give us success. I love his word. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. You can say all of what you want to say. But the people, listen, I done woke builders up today. You have no portion, right, or memorial. If you don't want a shovel, then you ain't got no rights here. See, I'm old enough to remember pew rallies. I remember when they used to put little tags on the side of the pews.
Yes,
you don't get your name on a pew if you ain't putting nothing in. You don't get your name. We not gonna put the little gold plate on the pew. You ain't got nothing on it. You can complain about it all you want to, but the names on the pews are the ones who've been building. When hardship, tabernacle, when hardship and opposition comes, keep on building. When the enemy tries to derail, just keep on building. When people say, don't do it that way, you keep on building. I hope I woke some builders up today. When y'all like, I'm a little tired, just keep on building. Lean on your brother. Lean on your sister. Just be like, we're going to build together. We got this. Let's keep on building. Brothers, come on, men. I need y'all to take your place so we can keep on building. Come on, brothers, dig in like it used to be. Come on, dig in and be those men where your shoulders get broad. Come on, ladies, we need you. We need you to keep on building. I know. It's going to get a little weary. Somebody just cook some chicken. We'll be all right. We're going to keep on building. Y'all don't understand the way we used to do it. We're a little tired. Bring out the church punch. We're going to keep on building. Come on now, y'all. You keep on building. Keep on building until it gets built. We're not going to stop till it gets done. Keep on building. Keep on building. I think, what does God think? I feel, what does God feel? Keep on building, though. Bishop, I don't think I like your tone. That's okay. That's fine. That's fine. I'd rather you be bothered with me and make God happy. I'd rather everybody in the whole room say, he could have said that another way, but I think we're going to build. I didn't like the way my dad said everything to me, but it got me together. See, that's what's happened. See, I don't understand. In 2023, we done got so sensitive to everything that's why we can't build nothing. Because one person says something to correct you and you think they're coming at your character. No, I'm coming at your product. I'm not coming at your character. I'm coming at what you produced. I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying that what came out of you is not worth it. I'm going to pray. I got any builders in the room? I need you to put your hands to the good work. Now, there's some work that the enemy wants you to do. Refuse that. Refuse the bickering. Refuse the discord. Refuse the backbiting. Refuse it. Because in this season, God is trying to make a beacon out of this house. A light on a hill that cannot be hid. Mm-hmm. And in order to do it, you're going to have to put them little pin lights up and get these stadium lights out. How in the world do you think you're going to build adequately on a dark building site? Kent, I was driving down the road on my way home yesterday, and I'm going to pray. And there was an emergency in the street. But it was nighttime. But there was an emergency in the street. It's nighttime, though. We're not going to wait. We're going to bring light. I'm not going to wait for that light. I got light I can bring with me. So they lit up the whole building site. It looked like day at that area. See, wherever there's darkness on this building site, you got to bring light with you. Light it up. And the problem was under the street. So they tore the whole street up. Y'all. Because ain't no way I'm going to fix it babying the way it used to look. If we're going to fix it, tear the whole thing up. We'll repave it. Start over. Father, I thank you. Woo! Yep. I honor you. Help us take this blueprint to heart and to walk it out. We give you praise. Thank you, God, for breaking us where we need to be broken, making us where we need to be made. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Everybody stand to your feet. Deacons, if you can come, if there's anybody in this place that does not know the Lord, if there's anybody in this place that is not saved, we would be remiss if we did not give you the opportunity to give your life to Jesus today.